Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 1st of June, recording at 9:20 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, firstly, highlights. The Asian stock markets were mixed. One of the bigger declines was the Hang Seng Index. European stock markets sort of dipped in and out of the minus column and then closed with modest gains on the day. And they're very likely to open stronger tomorrow, as are the Asian markets, because Wall Street had a good day in here. Now, the Dow is up nearly 92 points, that's 0.82%, but the eyebrow-raising move was in the NASDAQ Composite up 1.88%. That suggests to me that there is a fair bit of short covering in here today. But let me run on here, go through the rest of the review. Bonds up slightly in the US, down in Europe. And the US dollar, a little bit steady in here today. Not big action. And precious metals got walloped early on in the day. A big sell-off. We also had a big sell-off in industrial metals early in the day. Those gains were paired, but still ending with some eyebrow-raising declines. For instance, $15 in gold in the after-hours trading. And energy, a modest follow-through rally in natural gas, oil. I think that was down a bit in here today. Okay, let's get back to the stock markets. Now, you know, I feel that we're in the right-hand extension phase of a type 2 top, and we've just seen a fairly narrow ranging over the last fortnight. And Wall Street's close does raise the very realistic possibility that we will see some of these US and European indices, and then quite probably some of the Asian indices, nudge up out of these recent trading ranges. Some of the Asian indice patterns are different from what we see in Europe and the US. But in terms of the general overall outlook, I think it's for somewhat higher sideways to higher trading, I should say. I would be surprised to see new highs, and if we saw a number of new highs, of course I would have to question my hypothesis about the type 2 top formations, but that's not a risk here at this stage. So far, this looks to me like a fairly normal and consistent top extension phase. But what you can be sure we will see is that if we get little minor headlines and people looking at their charts and saying, you know, these indices are at their highest levels in 3 weeks, and they will look at some of the recent dynamics that we've seen over the last fortnight, and they'll say, well, this is just like some of the other corrections that we had seen over the previous 3 years, and they went on up and into new high ground. In other words, we get more bullish sentiment, a bit more short covering in here. Now, why might they not be right? Well, I go back to interest rates, and I actually feel that good news, this is a case where good news in terms of price performance is bad news in terms of interest rates, because if anything will embolden the central banks to do a little bit more to check some of those incipient inflation pressures, well, they're more than incipient, aren't they? Then they would raise rates against the background of firm stock markets, and that would add additional pressure, and higher interest rates, seasonal factors, and so on. All of these, second year of the U.S. election cycle, this all argues against strong stock markets at this phase. Instead, it argues strongly for a turbulent period in which we see a medium-term correction, as I've advocated all along. So don't be surprised, again, if you hear increasingly bullish sentiment emerging with each additional move upwards towards those highs that we saw mainly last month, but earlier, as you know, in some indices. Now, I'd quite like to see that additional rally because my only remaining hedge short position that I have is in the Dow. Now that's underwater at the moment. I'm not too worried about that in the September contract position, but I had covered my S&P and my NASDAQ and my DAX and my SMI shorts. I'd taken the profits on those, and I did so in the belief that we were oversold and would see a bit of a right-hand extension rally. So I will have the opportunity to add to some of those hedge short positions. I trust I will, and will probably do so. I say probably, and you might think, well, why is he hesitating on this? And I just mentioned just briefly that I know my hospital date now. I'll be going in on the 26th for this reconstructive surgery that I'm going to have. And then I'll be in hospital for about a week, and I don't want to be carrying too many positions when I go in there. It would be sensible to do less, obviously. Okay, so let me get back though to the overall activities. I look for a little bit higher ranging, and then an extension to the overall medium-term correction, and that of course would be confirmed by closes beneath the lows that we've seen over the last couple of weeks or so. Moving on to the government bonds in here, you know I've maintained that they are in a secular bear market, and therefore the bond prices in a secular bear market are likely to disappoint during the rally phases and to surprise people with the extent of their weakness. That's certainly been the case in the last few months, as I am largely out of those, except for a small JGB position, which I rolled forward today, as I said I would. I would be delighted to see the government bonds rally further, but my theme is that they can't do it, they won't do it, unless the stock markets are really quite weak, frightening people into bonds. So we may see that as enabling a little bit further technical rally to occur in the bond prices later on. But first, if stock markets are going to rally a little bit more, I would expect some of those bonds to actually sag. Okay, what else to mention in here? The dollar is ranging. I think the dollar bears are having a little bit of a rethink here, given the appointments that I described yesterday for was it Corn or Cohn? I can't remember what his name is, and then of course Henry Paulson at the Treasury. Overall, we see just a ranging pattern generally that may continue for a little longer, maybe a little bit more short covering, lifting the dollar. A little bit. I don't envisage too much. Precious metals and the industrial metals, well, these are experiencing well-earned medium-term corrections, and I expect those to continue. Again, the hospital factor stayed my hand here when I saw silver and gold plummeting in here. I think it was mostly this morning. It's a risky time in markets, and I've said I will not be establishing any big positions in here. I think it's easier to lose money in this environment to make money. So much nervousness, a lot of turbulence, and the trading activity carries with it a higher stress factor than it would be when we have than it would when we have orderly trends such as we had right on up to the peaks in these metals more often than not. So So that stayed my hand. But as a general overall view for those who are active traders in these markets, and I never encourage anybody to trade if they're not intuitive traders already, the only strategy is to buy some of these metals when you see the sharp, frightening sell-offs, and then to trade them out on the rallies. I don't expect any metals to be hitting new highs here for a number of months. This may be in line with the stock market action overall. But given some of the gains that we saw, in other words, they all went up together, they could come down together. But given the huge gains that we saw in some of those metals, it would not be surprising if some of those saw ranging consolidations of up to a year or two. Now, that's not a forecast. I'm saying that would not be it would not be overly surprising if some of them did that. But I'll monitor, and you and I can monitor the daily price action here overall. My guess is that some of them will recover much more quickly because there's so little supply, but that others will get much more lengthy consolidations overall, and we will see. We will see, of course. Now, the recent correction, though, has taken some of the steam out of the inflationary pressures and expectations. And I think the higher interest rates and the higher gasoline prices and so on, that will inevitably lead to some slowdown and a little bit of a knock to confidence from the stock market correction. All those factors suggest that we will see a bit of slowing in terms of the global GDP growth. It'll be some months before that data would come out, of course, because it lags. But that would be quite reasonable to see. And as I've said before, I've written about this and mentioned it in audios. I've said that don't be surprised if central banks say at some stage over the next few weeks or months to declare at least a partial victory, or to say that they're more satisfied that inflationary pressures have been kept in check. But of course, they'll add that we will remain vigilant and so on. And that's the type of ebb and flow that I expect in a new inflationary cycle. But over the longer term, I expect industrial resources prices to go much higher, as you know. I expect long-dated government bond yields to go much higher. I'm talking about the next 10 to 15, 20 years. And that would happen against a background of a higher overall inflationary pressures and also some stagflation. But right now, we still have a global economy synchronized in a period of growth, and I don't think any economy is going to slip out of that growth phase and into recession during this medium-term correction. And I think that's about a wrap here. So I'll just say all the best.